بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. فرمایا نفس کو توڑنا عبادت کے واسطے اور عبادت کے ثواب کی رغبت سے نفس کو روکنا ریاضت ہے. حضرت عبداللہ خفیف رحمۃ اللہ سیز ٹو بریک دا نفس اینڈ اوور پاور اینڈ ڈسٹروئے دا نفس از ٹو بریک دا نفس فار دا سیک آف عبادت and to prevent the nafs from inclining towards sawab, reward for the ibadat. This is called riyazat. Riyazat means the awliya, they impose upon them a variety of spiritual practices, hardships they impose upon them in order to overcome and subdue the nafs. That is called riyazat. So as Abdullah Khafi says, he mentions two issues here. First he says, is to break the nafs for the sake of ibadat. Ibadat here, it has a wider meaning. It does not only refer to ritual acts of ibadat, of worship only, for example, salat and sawm, fasting, etc. It has a wider meaning. There's different ways the nafs is tamed and nafs is broken down. One, the way it is wajib and farad for every person, and that is to abstain from things which Allah Ta'ala has made haram. When the nafs desires that, then we have to oppose and struggle against the nafs and break down the desires of the nafs. That is now the wajib, the farad degree of struggle against the nafs. Yes. Then the other way is to engage in the ibadat of in the ibadat. Another way is to abstain from unnecessary indulgence in permissibilities and in excessive permissibilities. Everything which is permissible should not give vent to the nafs and just act accordingly merely because it's permissible. But that is going to lead now to problems. The nafs will become rebellious. So one has to exercise caution, care even with regard to things which are permissible. And as far as ibadat, the acts of ibadat are concerned, that does not only apply now to farad and sunnat al-wajib and sunnat al-mu'akkada. That you break the nafs only down with that. No, these act the faraid and the wajibat. These everyone perform them. Even those who are evil people, fasiqs, fajirs, evil, they also perform farad. So it's a very minimum degree. Without that, person becomes, well, you will lose your iman. But there are other categories, like the mustahabbat, for example. Whilst the mustahabbat are not farad and compulsory, but as far as practical life is concerned, the Muslim is required to implement them in his daily life as if these acts are farad. The belief has to be correct, it is a mustahab. They are mustahab, but being mustahab, it's not a license for discarding them. It does not mean that because an act is mustahab, you have a free license to abandon it totally. It's unfortunate that you find this attitude, especially amongst learned people, amongst students of the deen, because of them being taught a wrong concept of mustahabbat. They are very neglectful on observing the amal which are mustahab. The fuqaha have in their kutub, in the kitabs, there are many issued definitions for the various ahkam, categorized the ahkam into different classes, different categories, and they have, so there are many technicalities in the kitabs of fiqh. But technicalities and the technical definitions of the terms do not mean that there is a license now or there's latitude for neglect and abandonment. This Fuqaha who have formulated all the masail based on these technicalities, they were great Sufia themselves. All of them were extremely meticulous in observing things which are mustahab. Take for example Imam Saraqsi rahmatullahi, Shamsul Imma, Imam Saraqsi rahmatullahi. Just one example, then you can understand how strict these fuqaha were, despite the technicalities which they have written in their kitabs. They never made amal on it. Imam Saraqsi rahmatullahi, he was in the, he died in the 482, just about 1,000 years ago. He wrote a kitab Al-Mabsut, it's in 15 volumes, it's one of the most authoritative kitabs of the Hanafi Mazhab, which we are using. Imam Saraqsi rahmatullahi, he was famous for practicing on this hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Afdalul Jihad, Kalmatul Haqqun Inda Sultanin Jair. The best, the noblest jihad is to state the truth in the presence of a tyrant, of a cruel, zalim king, to speak the truth there in his presence. So Imam Saraqsi Rahmatullahi was famous for it, and Once he made Amr bin Maruf to the Sultan, and he was ordered to be and they arrested him. He was arrested and he was sent to prison. And what type of prison? He was placed in a well, a deep well, unused well, and that was his prison. He was sent off to another city where this well was. And he was, and that was his prison for a very long time. Along the way, they were taking him. He was in chains. When it was Salat time, then automatically the chains would fall off from him, and he would give the azan. The guards were shocked. Not say anything, they understood this person is a great man of Allah Ta'ala. So he would give azan and then give the akamat, and the guards said, then we would now observe a jamaat of people all dressed in green performing salat behind him. It comes in the hadith that when you are on a journey, and especially if you're in the fields, anywhere in the open outskirts, you should give your salat. When you perform that, you must give azan and the takbir, iqamat. Right? It's not farad, but it's not something to leave out. If you give the azan and the takbir you recite, then the malaika who are wandering, always they are present there, and even the jinnat, Muslim jinns, they join you. And they perform salat behind him. And if you perform a salat without the azan, without the iqamat, your salat will be valid. But you perform it alone. They won't follow you and make iqtida of him. So after he would perform his salat, Saraqsi, then you would tell the guards, you can now tie me up. They say, no, what's that? We cannot tie you up. So he said, I am under Allah Ta'ala's hukum, and I proclaim the haq, that's Allah Ta'ala's command. You are under command of the zalim ruler, so you better fulfill your duty and tie me up so that you can escape his zulm, otherwise he will punish you. So when they came to the city of Uzjan, where he had to be imprisoned in the well, he entered first into the masjid there and for salat. When he was sitting, he was in the last saf, he was standing in the last saf, You observe the Imam, it was an extremely cold day. The Imam recited the Takbir, Tahrim Takbir, Tahrima. And his hands were under his shawl. It's very cold. So Imam Saraqsi Ram Salai proclaimed loudly from behind, repeat your Takbir. The Imam repeated the Takbir. The same way his hands were under, his hands were covered. Then the second time Imam Saraqsi Ram Salai again proclaimed that repeat your Takbir. Takbir Tahrima is for us. The third time, after the third time, when you proclaim again, the Imam turned and the Imam said, this person was reminding me, or was speaking, he can only be this great Imam Saraqsi, no one else. The city, the news had already spread in that city of Uzun, that this great Imam is under guard and being escorted and imprisoned. And he was famous for his Amar Bil Ma'ruf. So this Imam knew that no one else would have the courage here to tell me this. So then the Imam asked Imam Sahib, tell me, is there any deficiency in my Takbir? What was in Takdim? So Imam Saraqsi Ram Salai said, no, there's no deficiency in your Takbir. But it is sunnah for a man to have his hands outside, exposed. When he recites the Takbir, it must be outside. And he said, I feel it disgraceful to make iqtida, to follow an imam who enters the salat with the sunnah of females. See, that's the work of females, to have their hands under their burqa when they recite the Takbir. So it is disgraceful for to make iqtida. Now I will look at this way that this not here people make iqtida. What type of imams they appoint? Also fasting and fajr are the imams. So no one worry, no one concern. The namaz is valid. Yes, it's invalid. Whatever this imam, this great imam, such a great imam, he knows the masrah fully well, but he did not use diplomacy. In those days, he didn't use diplomacy. He said, no, what, is he going to feel bad and create a problem here? You know, the thing is that a sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is being violated. I mean, it's greater can be understood from this, that when he was imprisoned in the well, students would gather at the mouth of the well, and he would dictate, I have thirst from the bottom of the well. He had no kitab, nothing. His ilm was the nur of Allah Ta'ala. He said that al-ilm nurum nurullah fi qalbi al-mu'min. That ilm is the nur of Allah Ta'ala in the heart of the mu'min. So Imam Saraqsi Ram Salai, no kitab, nothing. He dictated from the bottom of the well. And the students record, write down. And in this manner, 15 volumes of Al-Mabsud, from Kitab al-Tahar to the end of Kitab al-Miras. And another two extra kitabs also. He dictated out of memory that thing, out of there. And the students that thing would write it. This was Imam Saraqsi. Once he didn't hear the voice of his one student. So he asked from the bottom, where is that student? It was extremely cold day that. In those places there, Bukhara, Samarkand, etc., snow and ice. So they say that Imam Sahib, he went to renew his wuzu. But the other student let him, he felt guilty and he said, he was honest, he told us, it is extremely cold and I haven't got wuzu now. So Imam Saraqsi Ram Salai from the bottom said, have you got no shame? You got no wuzu, but you got no shame. You have no shame. Now though you're sitting here in a dars, listening to the words of Allah Ta'ala, and without wuzu, nowadays they give the whole Quran Sharif, the shayateen give it to the kuffar, these dawah centers, these propagation centers. They give the entire Quran to the kuffar, say they can propagate Islam. They defile the Quran. So, here he said, these great people, the Kitab, you read them, that thing is permissible, that thing, to touch that thing, to handle. It's only the Quran which you must handle with wuzu. Leave alone, handling the Quran. I mean, it's unthinkable for them to touch any Dini Kitab without wuzu. They will not touch it without wuzu. Leave alone that in the masjid, they will not sit in the darsgah, in the classroom also without wuzu. So Imam Sharakhti Rahmatullah told the student to him, that have you got no shame? He said, during my student days, he's giving a lesson, during my student days, once I was overwhelmed with such a severe fever that I suffered diarrhea. He said, I had to go answer the call of nature, go to the toilet 40 times. And each time, sitting outside in the cold, I renewed my wuzu. And you, staying in this cold, it's cold, not so extreme. You're sitting here and sitting and listening to these words of Allah Ta'ala without wuzu. So this is the way these Imams, great Imam, and Imam Abu Hanifa Ramdali excelled in it. Imam Abu Hanifa Ramdali, once on an extremely hot day, he with a group of his students, they were going somewhere. It was so hot and it came to a big house. It was a shade of the wall. Everyone stood in the shade for a while. Imam Abu Hanifa Ramdali stood in the blazing sun. They sweated, they perspired. So they asked Imam Sahib, why don't you come stay? Why don't you come and stand in the shade? So he said, no, this house, it belongs to a person who is my debtor. I had given him a loan and he owes me money. And Rasulullah said, Kullu qardin jarra manfiatan fahuwa riba. That every gain, benefit derived from a loan given, that benefit is riba. So the shade, if I must stand in the shade of that wall, I'll be deriving benefit from where? From my debtor. And that is also riba. Yet, in terms of fiqh, that is not riba that. But as every word of the Quran and Hadith, it has a zahiri meaning and it has a batini meaning. It has a clear word in the text. It has a meaning, everyone understands the meaning, what's the interest. And it has an inner spiritual meaning. And these great fuqaha were great sufia, they understood the batin as well. So the ibadat, observance of ibadat is such that you have to observe everything, every aspect of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam command. Where that act, it is farad, wajib, sunnat, mustahab, the adab, it is practically wajib. Not in our beliefs, but practically it is necessary that act must be observed. It's unthinkable for a student of deen to be in the classroom or to handle a kitab without wuzu. And this also doesn't apply only to the students, it applies to everyone. Hazrat Sultanul Awliya, rahmatullah, very great alim, buzurg in India, about 2 centuries ago. He was on a journey, walking from one village to another village, and along the route, he came to a place, it was a desolate place, and it was time for salah. So he delayed the salat, waiting, maybe somebody pass here, I can make salat in Jamaat. So then he said, woodcutter just happened to pass there, come by, a woodcutter, worker, ordinary laborer. So the Sultan Awliya, asked him, brother, have you got wuzu and join me for a salat? So he looked at the buzurg and he said, that woodcutter said, is it ever possible for a Muslim not to have wuzu? Is it ever possible that you ask me such a stupid question? That have I got wuzu? That thing. He said, is it possible for a Muslim not to have wuzu? So Shahin Sultan Ulya Rahmatullah, he taught that Allah, these are Allah Ta'ala's banda, Allah Ta'ala's, this man is a buzu, great buzu, and everyone can't recognize them. Come on, we understand, I think, the importance, the thing of the mustahabat and of all the acts of ibadat, which we should make an effort to implement in our daily life.